My dear students, ladies and gentlemen, my dear knowledge professionals, knowledge seekers, and future knowledge workers. Assalamu alaikum. How are you today? I like to welcome you to session number 2 on this unique course of knowledge management. In the last session, I was trying to introduce what this area is, how this discipline is emerging, and how in future you can capitalize on the knowledge which you have at the individual level. Now, how can you deploy and apply and maybe share with the clients, customers, boss, subordinate, even at home? So you develop unique advantage for yourself and also for the company you might be working for. Is perspective mein phir maine ibtidai kuch knowledge products bhi aapko dikhaye. Recall kijiye jo cheeze last session mein maine aapko dikhai thi, unme se which object or which thing. Remember, we said object and thing. Which objects and which things you can call them as a knowledge-based product. Now, speaking of the knowledge-based product, this means that you have to keep in mind that certainly the knowledge-based product would be the one which was developed by using the knowledge of an individual or a group of individuals. Remember, I showed you the book written by Professor Thomas Davenport of Babson College in Massachusetts, United States. Kya khayal hai? Is this a knowledge-based product? Think of it. How many months and years it might have taken from that professor to speak about you, to write about you. Last September, I went to New York to attend a meeting of United Nations. It was an agenda at the global level, which is known as Millennium Development Goal, UN Global Compact, where business schools and business organizations, 22 of them from around the world, we were together to think about a model that how can we develop globally responsible leaders and managers. Globally responsible. So we would like to see how the globe looks like today and in 21st century. But then after the meeting was over in New York, I went to Massachusetts. And let me share with you that Boston in Massachusetts is a knowledge city. Why I'm calling knowledge city? There was a time when it used to be many textile sector, many textile industries in that city. Maybe 70, 80, 90 years ago. Not anymore. It's a knowledge-based city. MIT is there. One of the best engineering school and technology school in the world. And so is the business school, Sloan Management School. And right near in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Cambridge is a smaller city within Boston. Harvard Business School and Harvard University. And I'm sure you might have heard MIT as well as Harvard. Very close to them is a Massachusetts University. Another 5 or 10 kilometers away is a Babson College. A unique, top class, number one entrepreneurial college where they teach their students how to become a best entrepreneur. And many other organizations in that city and within Boston in Cambridge. MIT and Harvard, very close to each other, one focused on social knowledge generation, knowledge generation and knowledge creation in the social science areas. MIT, knowledge creation and knowledge generation in technology and engineering area and technology management area. So, I flew to Knowledge City. Of course, I attended a course in MIT on complexity and how to solve complex business solutions. How to come up with business solutions of the complex problems. By a professor who was an MIT professor and developed a model using complexity theory. Now this course or this area or this discipline still not known in any university of Pakistan. It's a future area. So you see, I went to finish my task, my job, invested some time in future, invested some money in future, learned some new area, went to see Professor Davenport at Babson College, visited Harvard University to find out what are the new knowledge which is being created and generated, and how can I can bring that new information and new knowledge back to Pakistan and share with you. So in other words, the globe, you have to take care of it, you have to serve it, you have to be part of it, and you have to see what are the challenges which are developing and emerging if you are a knowledge worker. In this course, I will share with you and I'll take you around the globe, the universities and the institutions and the organizations where knowledge is being discovered, created, generated, stored, deployed, and delivered. See how many things I've said? Exactly same thing as you might say, we do it to produce product through a supply chain. Yes, that is where I said that idea is a product of knowledge. When you share the idea, it grows. It is a resource, it becomes powerful when you share it. It is not like other resources that when you consume them, it either depletes, depreciate, or vanish. I repeat the example. Take a look, please. I have 1,000 rupees in my hand. I give this 1,000 rupees to Mr. A. Once this 1,000 rupees is given to Mr. A, he returns me another 1,000 rupees. So at the end of the transaction, remember 1,000 rupees, this is a financial resource. Am I right? So this was given to Mr. A and Mr. A returned to me 1,000 rupees. So at the end of the transaction, how much Mr. A has and how much myself have? Very simple answer. 1,000 rupees. Nobody gains anything. Am I right? That is what happened with financial resources. You exchange, you end up with almost no gain. A company sells you the product. Company, it costs certain amount of money to the company. Then company has purchased raw material. Company has used certain equipment, some labor to produce, to transform the raw material into output. Then some cost to deliver it to you. And then you pay a price and the company gets profit out of it. But my dear students, now think of the idea. Mr. A gets an idea from me. I share an idea with Mr. A. Mr. A, in return, shares another idea with me, shares another information with me. I teach him how to use Excel sheet. He teaches me, or she teaches me, how to use a browser to find ebooks on the web. I got one idea from her or him. He got one idea from me. When the transaction is over, I have two ideas. He or she has two ideas. Think of it. Knowledge-based product, knowledge-based transactions keeps on multiplying. But I think you will agree with me, knowledge sharing is not that easy. People, individuals, why would they like to share? And even if you ask them by command and control, scientific management, do you think that the person who knows, the knower, the knowledge worker, is he or she going to give you all of it? Is it a tendency? So how, you have to think about it, how the managers, how the head of the departments, how the boss have to use a kind of language, kind of communication style. Management hai na sara ye. How they have to plan, how they have to organize, how they have to lead and motivate. What kind of controlling system they have to use that Mr. A or B, he or she, would not only give its hands, but rather it will give the head and the heart. Best ideas, giving the best products, hitting the market, and you become the market leader. That is the game of knowledge. That's why I said it's unique. It's difficult, but believe me, it's also easy. Formula is simple. Knowledge sharing. So knowledge creation, knowledge discovery. We also talk about knowledge acquisition. You acquire from someone. You are acquiring this knowledge of the course of knowledge management from Virtual University. But once it is your property, once it is your asset, once it is your capital, you add your experience to it. You add your expertise to it. You add your context to it. You add your belief to it. You add your values to it. It becomes unique. Main ek choti si example aur dekar phir aage chalta hun. How to drive a car. How to drive a car. Is there only one solution? You tell me. Sitting all of you in the class. 20 people, 30 people. Do they all drive through the same process? You know. How to drive a car? Know how. But do you all follow the same methodology, same recipe, same process? Probably not. So which one we can say is right or which one is wrong? That's why I'm saying, my dear students, in this course, it's not a question of right or wrong. It's a win-win situation. Whenever you share knowledge, whenever you share recipe, whenever you try to develop a process, you make it unique. You help your company, you help your customer. In return, you also get value, you get benefit, you get promotion, you get career development from the company. So in other words, in the game of knowledge, then you have to learn some new rules, new models, new strategies, so that the people who own it, the person and the individual who think it's my capital, why he or she should give you their heart and their heads? Of course, hands are always given. In my case, my hands are actually this spoken power. The spoken power is the skill set I'm using to deliver this knowledge. So I'm delivering it, but the question is, while the delivery is being made, am I using my head also? And are you in my heart? Things would be different. That is what we need to learn here, that this unique resource is very unique. And people store it, create it, store it, deploy it, deliver it in a different way. I was in Australia in 2004, and I had an opportunity to attend a masterclass of knowledge management by Professor Dr. Carl Sweeby. I'm giving you a second name now, and you have to remember these names. Some of those specialists who have developed this area. Professor Sweeby of Sweden gave you another approach, European approach. And he conducted this class for a whole day. I was part of it, 20 people from New Zealand, from Australia, from Singapore, from Malaysia. And he shared an example, and I'd like to share that with you to explain how knowledge is important. He asked me and all the group, do you know, ladies and gentlemen, do you know how to find your nose? Everybody said, yes. There is nothing fancy in it. There is nothing special in it. He said, oh, that means you know how to find your nose. Everybody said, yes. He said, okay. I'll ask you that you close your eyes, and by using your right hand, then you touch your nose. Everybody did it. Fine. He then asked the participants, how long did it take to find your nose? Some people said 1 second, some people said 2 seconds. Very short period. I'm sure you can do this exercise too. I learned this from Professor Sweeby. He said, all right, now you share how did you find your nose to your colleague sitting left to you. So I shared my process with the colleague sitting next to me, and he or she shared his process of finding the nose to me. And there was a mutual discussion, and took a little while. And then Professor Sweeby asked everyone, did you find out which one is the better way to find the nose? And surprisingly, the lady which was sitting right next to me, you know what she described? She said, I have a very unique way of finding my nose. I said, what is it? She said, I always see where the air is coming. And that's where my nose is. And people describe in a different way. And then Professor Sweeby asked the participants, and all of them were very senior participants, 10, 15, 20 years of experience, that was it easy to find the nose when you did it, or was it easy when you explained it to someone else? Process of knowing how to do it myself, and process of explaining to someone how to do the job. Are you getting the point? And everybody said, no, it was difficult to explain. And then it was difficult to convince him to buy my method, to buy my process. It was also very difficult to convince him, because he or she could not understand my communication style. The words I was using, the language I was using, the attitude I had to many barriers and variables when you communicate and transfer and share this knowledge and information from person A to person B, culture A to culture B, company A to company B, from company to the customers. But there is no other way that if we want to develop a competitive advantage for our organization or for myself, the only way is that we seek more knowledge, we learn more knowledge, we develop our careers, and we look into the future where the opportunities are. So ladies and gentlemen, this course of knowledge management, as I said last time, it's going to be fun. Because everybody knows how to make a cake, or at least who are good in cooking, they know and they can get a recipe. So what you got in your head is your personal knowledge. What you got in the recipe is the knowledge which is given to you by someone else, an expert. But by looking at that recipe, how to make a good cake, can you make a good cake? No. And then look at how many bakeries around. Look at how many professors around. Each one has its own way of doing things. Each one has its own way of making the cake. Someone you like and pay the premium price. Someone you like and you pay a commodity price. And someone you are not simply ready to buy it. So this is the expertise and the know-how and the delivery of the know-how. Knowledge in action, which is really making the difference. So in the last session then, we said, yes, individual capital, individual knowledge, and the institutional knowledge, both are important. So people in the organization, people at the individual level, they have their own capitals. Then, what are the processes of knowledge management which are going to be used? What is the knowledge in the process of the company? Sales process, design process, production process, delivery process, logistic process, customer satisfaction process, so many processes. Each process has its own recipe, its own procedure. Remember in ISO 9000, one, we said you document what is the procedure. And then you do the work and then try to improve. Continuous improvement. Same thing is the case in continuous improvement in learning. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Utlubul ilma min al-bahd ila al-lahd." Keep on learning from day one to the day last. Lifelong learning. It will give you the unique value in the market. Notice the word I used, market value. Because I will compare the market value with the book value. And then we will see why some people and some companies have a higher market value as compared to their book value. Why some companies, which are the knowledge-based companies, and talking about the knowledge-based company, let me share with you another example. Sultan of Brunei, an oil-rich country, Brunei, the king of Brunei, it's near Malaysia. Remember I said I'll take you around the globe. I'll share with you examples around the globe which I have learned. Some from books, some from visits, some from universities, some from students while teaching them in those countries. Brunei, oil-producing country. Sultan of Brunei, king of Brunei, a very rich person, has to be. Compare Bill Gates, chairman of Microsoft, knowledge-based company. A state and a person who have things and a company who have no things, intangible resource. Which one is generating more finance? which one is generating more money. So in 21st century, Bill Gates is the richest person in the world. And he says it very confidently, I have made many people millionaires, the programmers especially, who worked on his operating system. So knowledge-based products and knowledge-based processes and knowledge-based systems and knowledge-based people, they are becoming important day by day, especially in 21st century. So we would like to see the globe in 21st century. How does it look? What kind of scenarios are developing? And then how to deal with it? Remember I said last time, people and process, you must blend it with technology. And later on we'll talk about the content as well, if some of you are from the IT side. Content and the system, both are important. Web and the web pages, both are important. If there are no web pages, what is the use of web? WWW has only value when it has the web content. But let us focus on PPT, people, process, technology. That is all what you manage in knowledge management. But to me, you are more important, not people, the person. I would like to go to the unit level. Remember I said raw material, atoms. Knowledge, information, bits. People, you get lost. I like to request you, the students, the professors, the knowledge workers, the engineers, the consultants, the doctors, the nurses, marketeers, salespeople, artists, designers, all of you, believe me, we Pakistanis are smart people. But smartness is only when you put your knowledge into action. You produce something. You deliver something. We'll talk about that more. How to deal with it. How to manage what you know. And how to get a better market value. But first, let us see how the 21st century globe is looking. Are you ready? Let me show you the slide and then we will talk. Okay, here we are looking at the globe, a 21st century globe. And when we look towards the world and we start from the middle on the top, you may say from the North Pole, or North Pole ka experience bhi bada unique hai. I also had a North Pole experience. I took a flight from Bangkok. Remember I said I was going to New York? I took a flight from Bangkok to New York, and this flight went through the North Pole. And it was so beautiful when you reach the North Pole. But the knowledge which I like to share with you, it was a non-stop flight from Bangkok all the way over to China and then Greenland and all the way to the North Pole. While we reached at the North Pole, and you can see the snow mountains. Remember, the globe is only a few miles at the North Pole. We left Bangkok 12 midnight. We reached at the North Pole. It was about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Sunshine, beautiful sun. You can see all over. Beautiful snow. Well, the captain of the plane said, we are turning left and then turning south. And he did. It took only few minutes because you're talking only about 40, 50 miles at the North Pole. And then you start descending south to Canada and then to United States in New York. You know what happened? 9 o'clock, sunshine. Slowly and gradually as the plane came down south into Canada, then into Montreal and Toronto, the sunlight starts going down and disappearing. And then all of a sudden, you can see stars on the sky once again. And it was 6 o'clock morning when we reached New York. See how the time is changing? See how the world has shrinking together? You have a proof in front of you. Complex technologies. and think of the technology of that aeroplane which is flying from Bangkok to New York non-stop. Most of the software technology and the hardware technology, latest technology used by the aeroplanes, all knowledge-based, all complex. But who is delivering this complex technologies? A human being. So human beings, people like you, are becoming more important. Because companies would like to use their knowledge to come up with a unique product. Remember that product I showed you last time, iPod? It's a knowledge-based product. And then look at all these mobile phones which you have every day coming in the market. More and more knowledge-based features, functionalities are being added. And some companies even bring their latest design within 6 months. So in other words, my dear students, knowledge put into the product, developed into a smart product. But smart product, to me, is being manufactured by a smart people, smart group of people. So companies now get a competitive advantage not on the basis of raw material or even the technology. No. Companies get an advantage on the basis of the kind of people they have hired. Not HR. We're not talking about the human resource. We are talking about the knowledge as a resource in the minds of the human. Think of it, please. Yes, process is important. Yes, human resource is important. But we are talking here is the knowledge in the human head. How can we deploy? How can we ask them so that in the global economy, the next, if you look towards the right, the next variable and the next force and the next emerging scenario which we see in the world is global economy. What does that mean? Markets are becoming global. You can buy any product of any of the world company, right, sitting in Lahore, in Multan, in Khanewal, in Peshawar, in Quetta, in Karachi. You click, you get rice, you get books, you get CDs, you get toys. You get tickets. In fact, you can buy anything which you like. Globalization. So global economy, aapne WTO ka perspective padha hoga. Free trade, liberalization. The barrier on the trade and the barrier on the borders. And the use of the technology. That is a force, that is a tide, I would say that is a power if you like to deliver your unique and knowledge-based product. So product has to be of quality, product has to be smart, the market is there. No longer there are those kind of barriers as the barriers were there 20 or 30 years ago. International partnerships. Companies are joining hands, competitors are joining hands, developing alliances. It's a new phenomena. I have the knowledge of making good mobile phone, company A. I have the knowledge to develop good communication networks, company B. I have the knowledge of delivering good services to the consumers, third company. So service provider, network provider, device provider. Three companies joining hands, developing a partnership at the international level. You wait and you will see, maybe some of you are already getting phone calls from companies in Australia and United States selling you maybe a dish or a book, or maybe selling you some journal or a training programs. The training program from where I became part of knowledge management standard development practice, once again, it was in Australia. Australia becoming a leading country in the developed economies, of course, joining hands with other knowledge management specialists, has already developed a standard of knowledge management. And let me show you the copy of that. This is a knowledge management standard developed by Standards Australia. Of course, it will be revised. It tells the companies what are the enablers, how the strategies will give you the best outcome, and how you can deploy the knowledge of your knowledge workers so you can have the best competitive advantage in the global world. So in other words, business organizations, consulting organizations, universities, and speaking of the universities, most of the time I go around in many countries of the world and I try to blend many projects together, but all of them are knowledge focused. And then we publish, people in academia, they try to publish paper in the area of knowledge management, like those who are interested in it. A few months ago, we also published a paper in Journal of Knowledge Management. So there are many journals. Let me show you one journal. Journal of Knowledge Management. And the paper which we published deals with culture, cognition, and knowledge-based development. How culture plays a role, and how the thinking and the belief of the person plays a role in the knowledge-based development. And you will be surprised to hear that a model is being built. What kind of a knowledge city should look like? And especially those cities which are known as a knowledge city. I mentioned about Dubai. Barcelona in Spain is another knowledge city. Remember we talked about Cambridge in Boston, Massachusetts? You'll find many, many, many cities around the world. And if a new city has to be developed, those of you who are in public administration, urban planning, so what kind of a knowledge city model should be? And if you have a chance to visit a purpose-built, newly created knowledge city in Malaysia, Cyberjaya, from Kuala Lumpur city center, they call it KLCC, to Kuala Lumpur International Airport, KLIA. 50 square kilometer area, developed two cities. Cyberjaya, all the technology-based, IT-based, CT-based, internet-based companies, they have housed in Cyberjaya. And then the headquarter of Malaysia is in Putrajaya, which is also a unique town in itself, like Islamabad, where you find all the government buildings and the government headquarters. But you will see how the people and the process and the technology are working together to develop a content for the citizens, to develop a content for the companies, to develop a content for the customers, to develop a content for the globe. That is what knowledge management is. So this means when we look towards the globe, Pakistan needs to be part of it. Of course, finite resources, natural resources are finite. But how about the knowledge resources? Are they finite? What do you think? Kya khayal hai aapka? Are they finite? No. Allah Ta'ala ne insaan ko sochne aur samajhne ki jo salahiyat di hai, ye jo دماغ دیا ہے انفارمیشن کو پروسیس کرنے کے لیے انلمیٹڈ. کہتے ہیں, میں نے تو سنا ہے کہ آئنسٹائن کو اگر 286 کمپیوٹر بھی مل جاتا, he did not have computer. He only used, remember I showed you the writing instrument? He used the writing instrument, pen or the chalk in those days. And see how many theories he has developed. Intelligent person, genius person, full of ideas, full of knowledge. اور اگر انفارمیشن پروسیس کرنے کی کوئی ٹیکنالوجی اس کو مل گئی ہوتی تو نہ جانے اور کتنا کچھ فزکس والوں کو پڑھنا پڑتا اور دنیا اس تھیوری کو انجوائے کرتی. If you're talking about the natural resources, they are finite. But we are learning in this course that knowledge, infinite resource. Environmental sustainability. Yes, that is an issue at the global level. And you have to be socially responsible, environmentally responsible company. Look at the Millennium Development Goals of United Nations, UN Global Compact. And you will see that the business organizations, they are asking, they should be socially, environmentally responsible. I'm glad to share with you that companies in Pakistan also, companies in Sialkot, companies in Lahore, companies in Karachi, companies in Faisalabad, since they are part of the globe, they are trying to be responsible and show to the world that yes, we are also environmentally sustainable. Look at the demographic shifts in the world. Knowledge workers moving from place A to place B. These are the trades and these are the skill sets and these are the competencies which are in high demand this part of the world. And then sometimes you don't have to move. Right sitting in front of the computer, laptop, you can sell what you got in your head. And the money will be delivered. But demographic shifts are there. Career long learning, that's what I told you. Being a knowledge worker, please do not think that I got a PhD in 1978 so I don't have to learn. You will be outdated. P1 computer, nobody wants to buy it today. It was a very good technology. Back in the mid-80s, I purchased it for more than 80,000. Remember those days? If you can get a hard disk, a few megabyte, you were lucky. Now you got a 1 GB of memory, more than 10 GB in iPods. And what to speak of memory in the computers, PCs, laptops, iPods, palm tops, even mobile phones. So all what I'm saying is you need to keep on learning and updating your knowledge because knowledge gets obsolete very fast. And the only way you get better market value is that you have a career focus. That is the world is expecting. That is the world is demanding. That is the organizations are demanding. Then we are looking at infrastructure renewal. If in the textile sector of Pakistan, the technology is old. If the IT companies of Pakistan, the way you have built your buildings is outdated. If the universities of Pakistan are not equipped with the latest infrastructure. I'm not saying they should do it all together, but at least they should have some plan, the 10% in first year, 20% in 3 years, some plan to renew the infrastructure, creative transformations. You see, physical classroom was good, but then here is the idea, creative transformation. Here is the idea, Virtual University of Pakistan, hiring best resource persons from around the world, and in Pakistan, giving you the best of the content. Best of accounting, best of sociology, best of marketing, best of management, best of IT, best of data warehousing, best of data mining. So that you can equip yourself and creatively you transform. Because if you are transformed as a good knowledge worker, you will contribute to the society and the country, which is our country, and we become smart country. Don't we want to? Yes. We want to see Pakistan in the next few years in the next few decades to be part of the developing world. And let me share with you the data. Remember, I keep on talking data and information and knowledge. We will see what is the difference. But I'll share with you the data. Looking from the physical resources, physical area. Let's talk about the physical area. The physical area of Pakistan, comparing with the world, we're talking of the world. Physical area, land of the world, land of Pakistan, comparing it with the world. Pakistan is nowhere in the first 10 countries. I'm talking about the World Bank data. Looking at the population. Looking at the human resource. You see, when you talk of population, it gives you a negative meaning. I look at population as a unique advantage. Human resource. Looking from the human resource point of view, Pakistan is seventh in the whole world. Can't we make the difference? So I'll show you in a minute. I'll share with you in a minute. I'll discuss with you in a minute. I'll interact with you in a minute. What policy at the national level can be made that we can become a knowledge-based society? We could also be a knowledge-based country. We can be part of the knowledge-based economy. Remember, wherever there is a will, you'll find the way. Creatively, how can we transform? Seventh nation in the world in terms of human resource. And is it not this we are talking? That knowledge is owned and possessed by a human being? Not by machines, not by technologies. We are seventh in the world. My dear students, let us transform this human resource creatively. Let us help them. Let us share them. The companies and the societies and the cities wherever we are. And why not? Mahallas and the streets. And the towns in which we are living, if we have the knowledge sharing attitude. We'll talk about the knowledge sharing as a process. Diverse workforce. What does that mean? I'm talking from the Pakistani point of view. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you won't see these many women in the workforce. Women are working now almost every organization. You will find them. That's good. Look at how many people of different cultures you are coming in contact with now. Diversity of culture, diversity of language, diversity of gender, and of course, diversity of food and beliefs. Dekhi, maine 5-6 diversity ki baat kar. So please try to learn that if you have to work with someone who have a different belief, who have a different religion, who have a different language, how responsibly and professionally you will deal with it. And you become a knowledge worker in the sense that you are knowing what are the demands of the 21st century. Cognitive revolution. Yes, of course, that's why we are trying to learn knowledge management. That's why we published this paper, Culture, Cognition and Knowledge-Based Development in 2006 in this journal, which I showed you. And I think you might see the difference as well that I also bring these notes to this class. This is my notebook. I try to remember many things, but you know, I can't remember everything. So I like to share with you ke jaise aap apni kaapiyan lekar aaye, mere paas bhi meri kaapi hai. Main isme bhi notes likhta hoon. And the last item I like to discuss with you in the 21st century is the information explosion. I think you will agree with me. More than 8 billion websites. Already present on the internet. World Wide Web is thinking of going into the World Wide Web already into two. They are thinking of making the web semantic web, IT people. How can we bring more intelligence into the web? How can we deploy intelligent agents who can do the job for us on the web? So my dear students, knowledge management, you look from the people perspective. Knowledge management, you look from the process perspective. Knowledge management, you look from the technology perspective. Knowledge management, you look from the economics perspective. Knowledge management, you look from the content perspective. So there is not going to be any one book which will serve the purpose of all these kind of audience. But let me share with you a book, Knowledge Management, one of the book written in 2004. Part of it, we will use it in this course. And speaking of from the technology point of view, here it is. What knowledge management strategies can be used, speaking from the technology point of view? And please look at the new databases which are coming from the database vendors. And you will see what are the new business intelligence technologies which are already built in to the technology. So in other words, technology is also helping us to become a more knowledgeable society, nation, individual, group of people, teams, organizations, cities, communities, so that this whole world of 21st century should be more knowledgeable, should be more intelligent, should be more smart. Let me share with you a nation of opportunity, a report from the 21st Century Workforce Commission. What they are saying is that in 21st century, if you want to become a nation of opportunity, and we are a nation, we want to make Pakistan, all of you, me and you together, Pakistan as a nation, part of the developed world. Are you ready for it? Let's do our job. Let's do our contribution. Let us share what we have with other fellow countrymen of Pakistan and the fellow globe of the world, fellow people in the globe of the world. But to take this opportunity, one has to have the ability to read, write, and compute with competence. Reading, writing, and computing. Teen cheezein ho gayin. Chauthi cheez, think analytically. And you will see many jobs are coming up of the business analyst. Adapt to change. You must have a mind which is adaptable. And speaking of adaptability, I like to repeat again what Charles Darwin and what Peter Drucker said. They said in a different perspective, but the message is same. Dinosaurs disappeared, huge in size, physical size, huge. Disappeared because they were not adaptable to the changing environment. So if we as a nation, if we as Pakistani, if we as a knowledge professional want to survive and thrive and face the 21st century world, we need to be adaptable and flexible and learn new concepts, learn new ideas, learn new processes, learn new systems and implement them. And be knowledgeable and be part of a 21st century world. And to work in teams. یہ جو بعض اوقات ہم سنتے ہیں نا جی میں اس کے ساتھ کام نہیں کر سکتا جی میں اکیلا پروجیکٹ کر لوں گا میں اکیلے اسائنمنٹ کر لوں گا نہیں اس کورس میں میں آپ کو ایسی اسائنمنٹس دوں گا جو آپ کو ٹیم کے اندر کرنی ہوں گی ٹرائی ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ ہاؤ ٹو لیو ود اندر نالجبل پرسن ہاؤ ٹو میک ہم شیئر ہز ایکسپرٹیز اینڈ نالج اینڈ دا لاسٹ پوائنٹ از یوز ٹیکنالوجی سو ٹو میک دی نیشن ایٹ دی نیشنل لیول These are the ingredients which has to be looked into if we are looking from the government point of view, if we are looking from the academician's point of view, if we are looking from the policymaker's point of view. These are the ingredients if we put into curriculum, if we put into courses, if we put into schools and colleges and universities and madrasas. That is how it will make knowledgeable. Otherwise, the knowledge will be obsolete, my dear students. And obsolete knowledge, just like P1 and P2 and P3 computers, no good. Aaj koi aapko P1 computer ke 500 rupaye bhi nahi dega. you will be lucky. Because people want to buy latest technology. So that's why, while ending this session, I expect from you that the knowledge which has no relevance with the market, your market, please discard it and get a new one. Learn those courses, sit in those programs, be part of those sessions, which will raise your market value. And in my course, the first several sessions, I would like to address you, the knowledge professional, the knowledge worker, the individual capital. And I have a big concern how to raise your market value, how to raise the price of your personal capital so that that capital can be deployed in the organization that would raise the institutional capital. And of course, we will bring in the technology and we look at the knowledge management systems and we will see what are these different approaches to face the 21st century world. Thank you very much for joining this session and I'll see you inshallah in the next session, session number 3. Until then, khuda hafiz.